Psalm 145. The book of Psalms is the longest book of the Bible. Psalm 119, the longest chapter of the longest book of the Bible. That's about the Word of God. Much there about the Bible, the Scriptures, the commandments and statutes and so forth. But the rest of the Psalms, a lot of it is prayers. There are songs they sang, but it's prayers as well. People crying out to God or rejoicing in God and praising God. And there's some pretty serious complaints that are made throughout the Psalms, the earlier Psalms. But you get to these last chapters, and the focus is on praise. And many of the Psalms, I mean, it gets there, but we get to this point in the book, and it's almost like it's, okay, we're beyond that now. And now we're just going to praise Him. And these last chapters all pretty much do just that. Psalm 145, beginning of verse 1. I will extol Thee, my God, O King, and I'll bless Thy name forever and ever. He's purposed to praise. This is what I'm going to do. And your name is deserving of that. Verse 2, every day will I bless thee and will praise thy name forever and ever. Every day I am purposed to praise. Well, that's a good purpose, isn't it? Every day, God, I'm going to focus my mind, my heart, my affections on you forever. That's it. I'm committed to that. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. The reason for that praise. The great God, how great Thou art. Isn't He?
Yes.
Sometimes we lose sight of that. Because we're looking down here instead of up here. When you get your focus right, then it becomes clear. You're great, God. Greatly to be praised. A greatness that is unsearchable. I'll never figure it all out. I was talking with that Jehovah Witness lady this week. And, she's stuck on this Trinity thing, can't accept that. And she said, it just doesn't make sense. I said, I haven't got God figured out. If I could figure God out, He wouldn't be God. He wouldn't be any greater than I am. I don't need to figure it out. I just believe it. Verse 4, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. We're going to develop a heritage of praise or infect the next generation, praising the works to another, one generation to another, declaring the mighty acts. He goes on, verse 5, I will speak of thy glorious honor, of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. We need to let our kids know what God's doing in our lives. We need to make sure God's doing something in your life to do that. To praise Him. One generation praising thy works to another. Verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy greatness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. That's the result if I've effectively done that. Abundantly uttering the memory of thy greatness. The great God whose greatness is unsearchable. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. He is worthy. Verse 10, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. We all should. He says, all thy works. Now wait a minute. Didn't just say all people or all His people. All thy works. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. Day unto day utter a speech, and night unto night showeth. Does it say knowledge? Whoops, I thought it was praise. Okay. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. All thy works shall praise Him. Not just those of us with a mouth. Everything that God has made, all of His works, praising Him and showing Him, speaking of the glory of thy kingdom and of His power. Verse 12, to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Now we're getting outside the house, aren't we? So that all see this. And once again, the problem is we get kind of sheltered sometimes. We get in our little cocoon and we don't let God be seen in our lives among people in the world. They need to see Him. You know, it's in Corinthians it says that the Lord's... I can't remember how it goes, but it talks about us being basically the Bible, the only Bible they're going to read, our lives. Let them see Him in us. Verse 13, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Sometimes maybe we lose sight of that too. Things don't look so good right now in the United States of America. But God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And His dominion endureth throughout all generations. All the church is pretty weak. Well, maybe so, but God's dominion endureth through all generations. God's still in control. Verse 14. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raises up all those that be bowed down. He's there in our time of need. Verse 15. The eyes of all that wait upon thee and thou... The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Once again, we can learn from God's creation. They look to Him. Their eyes are upon Him, they wait upon thee. And thou givest them their meat in due season. God takes care of His creatures. But we think we got to do it ourselves too often times. Instead of waiting on Him. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Not just a few. Verse 18 or 17. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all his works. Someone said, do you think that you're so important that God would make his first mistake with you? God is righteous in all his ways. Everything God does is right. We don't understand it. You know, why does a little child have to suffer with some dreadful disease or through some horrible accident or some occurrence or something? I don't know, but God is righteous. I can't figure it out. I don't understand it all. But God is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. With me, with you, with every other being, with every other creature upon the face of the earth, God is always good. That was earlier, verse 9, the Lord is good to all. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He's always there. He's always attentive. He's always ready. And verse 19, he's always faithful. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Always. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. He's always preserving. In these 21 verses, though, one single phrase is given to the wicked. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. It's almost like an afterthought. And as I said, you know, we've gotten to this point and the focus is on God. They're insignificant in the plan and purpose of God. They've had their chance. He was there. He was nigh. He was available. He was attentive. He was ready to respond to their cry. And they've ignored it. They've cast him off. So God says, and I cast you off. All the wicked will he destroy. They're insignificant in the plan and purpose of God. But we're significant. That one that's there, that's ready, that's providing, that's attentive, that we need, and we need to look to him for all those needs. He's looking to us. Verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. He started out with that as his purpose. He ends with that as his purpose. That I am going to speak the praise of my Lord. I want him to be lifted up. I want him to be magnified. I want him to, his greatness to be seen among all. That all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. That the amount of the wicked that are deemed insignificant is a small amount. That others would be taste and see that the Lord is good and be drawn to him. As a result of that, purposed to praise him. Hope that's a blessing to you this evening. I don't have a missionary letter.